The Grammy Awards air on Sunday night, and like the movie industry's Oscars, the show is a lucrative spectacle for its parent organization. The National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences went through some growing pains, but as NPR's Neda Ulaby reports, the Grammys have matured and gotten younger.
The Grammy Awards are the signature event of an organization that's a bit like Shiva, the god with many arms. There's a trade association. There are charities for music education and musicians' welfare. The Grammys are also involved in archival and preservation efforts. Neil Portnow has led the Recording Academy for the past year and a half.
We've got arguably the most recognized and important brand in music in the world in the gramophone and in the Grammy mark.
Before Portnow took over, the Grammys, both the organization and the awards, seemed troubled. The telecast's ratings seesawed, and critics found it overly commercial and out of touch. For a while, even some music insiders didn't take the Grammys seriously. Hank Neuberger is a Grammy winner and a past chairman of the board of the Recording Academy. He recalls the year 1984, when a Lionel Richie record called Can't Slow Down won Best Album. It beat Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA and Prince's Purple Rain.
And there was a recognition at that time that possibly the membership of the Recording Academy was not as diverse, both age-wise and genre-wise, as it could be.
That view of the Recording Academy's voting membership is still shared by Los Angeles Times reporter Chuck Phillips.
Like, I'm old, I'm 51, right? And a lot of their members are older than me. So that's a real problem, I think, when you're trying to find out what's good music.
Phillips took the Recording Academy more seriously when, with another reporter, he began a series of investigations that helped him net a Pulitzer Prize. Phillips tracked the organization's growth into a not-for-profit powerhouse under then-president C. Michael Green.
When he started here in 88, there were 14 employees and 3,500 members and less than $5 million in assets. By the time he quit, there were more than 120 employees. There were 17,000 members based upon what they say, and they had more than $50 million in assets.
Green supercharged the Grammy Awards into the number one music show in the world, and he developed its charities, like the Music Heroes Foundation, which supports elderly and ailing musicians. But only 10% of revenues earned on grants actually went to those musicians in need, according to Phillips' research. And he says Green parlayed his position to include perks, like an exclusive country club membership and a leased Mercedes.
Within a few years, we realized he was making $2 million a year, which was the highest paid nonprofit, as far as we could tell, of anybody ever.
Green's career eventually flamed out in a scandal of alleged harassment almost 2 years ago. He denied all charges and stepped down. Neil Portnow took over Green's position just months before the 2003 award show.
Well, the first 90 days were, and I pretty much announced this to our trustees and our staff, which is, you know what, folks, we got a show in 90 days, I'm the new guy, and we need to make sure that it goes smoothly, that that's where I'm going to put all of my energy, and pretty much did that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a five-time nominee tonight, Nora Jones.
Ratings for that show rose 31% from the one the year before. Out were the cheesy presenters and long acceptance speeches. In were ornate musical tributes and beguiling newcomers.
I waited till I...
The Recording Academy is proud that Grammy voters are hands-on musicians and studio professionals. Like the Oscars, their nominations and votes are secretly tabulated by an independent accounting firm. But unlike the Oscars, the top categories like Best New Artist and Best Album are handled differently. Those are determined by what Recording Academy President Neil Portnow calls a confidential Blue Ribbon Committee.
The Blue Ribbon Committee takes the results of that vote and has the ability to subtly change the top vote getters.
Portnow says the intention of Grammy voters isn't changed. Instead,
the intention of this committee was really to avoid anything that becomes overtly embarrassing.
Embarrassing, like the 1988 Grammy for Best Hard Rock Heavy Metal Performance. Albums by Metallica, AC/DC, Jane's Addiction, and Iggy Pop were passed over in favor of Jethro Tull. because thousands of recordings are released each year, and because of the Recording Academy's massive voting membership, Portnow says Grammy balloting just can't work like the Oscars. And he rejects any notion that the nominating committee bows to commercial demands.
If we were subject to, you know, just commercial considerations, the nominations would look a lot different.
Nominations this year reflect an award show determined to keep its stodgy old nickname, the Grannies, at Cain's length. Leading the Grammy nominations are artists like Outkast, Beyoncé Knowles, and Pharrell Williams. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.